Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure most of you heard the term oxymoron. Oxymoron is when you have two words placed next to each other, but they don't fit together. An example is alone together. Alone together seems self-contradictory words, right? It doesn't fit together in the same phrase. Take another one, dark light. Dark and light, totally different ideas. They are contradictory. When we look to our 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19, we see that there's some oxymoron going on in our text this morning. Peter is talking about the idea of joy and suffering. That's oxymoron. Joy and suffering? Those words cannot be paired together. It doesn't make sense in our world. But in the Christian phrasebook, it does. Our theme for this morning is rejoice in suffering. The background of this letter was written to the Christians in Asia Minor who were facing rejection, abuse, and some public humiliation because of their faith. So Peter was writing this letter to them to encourage them and comfort them at the same time. So to understand the background even better, when people converted to Christianity, they stopped worshiping the gods of Rome. They stopped going to any or participating in any regular rituals or sacrifices belong to Rome. They started meeting together in houses, in rooms, pray together privately, and eating and drinking the blood and body of Jesus Christ. So any loyal Roman citizen would consider these Christians negative or bad influence to the community. Because there's now those people breaking the harmony of the Roman Empire, the Roman community, by doing that. So that's why the Christians were regarded with suspicion and hostility. So Peter here is addressing them and said, you know, guys, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. The real surprise is if persecution doesn't come. If you're not persecuted, then there's a problem. You should expect persecution. Persecution is not elective. It's a prerequisite to Christ's likeness. Could you imagine you see a soldier in a war zone running to his commanding officer, said, Sir, they're shooting real bullets at me. What do you expect the commanding officer saying in this? He said, well, what would you expect? You joined the army, you know we are in a war. They will shoot real bullets at you. We are in a real war with Satan, and we have to expect that Satan will shoot real bullets at us. So we should expect persecution. In verse 12, we see the fiery ordeal that portrays figuratively some painful persecution. Another meaning for fiery ordeal can mean a furnace melting down metal to purify it of its impurities. It's mentioned a lot in Psalm 66 and Proverbs 17:3. So when we have this mistreatment comes to upon believers, actually this is to purify us, to test us, and to test the genuineness of our faith. But one danger of going through trials and painful persecution is we tend to be filled with worries and fears of tomorrow. We start thinking, you know, when we see the troubles brewing around us, we start thinking, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to react to this persecution? Do I need to go and build a shelter underground? Do I need to go on to the middle of the wood and live there? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? What if I can't stand this persecution? What if I lose my faith? What if? But Paul says, Peter says, you know, guys, rejoice. Rejoice in your suffering. Rejoice in your suffering because, and he gives us reasons, he said. The first reason, because you're sharing in the suffering of Christ. Peter is not saying, have fun, rejoice in your pain, but he's saying, rejoice in what the pain might accomplish in your life. Peter said, when you suffer, you're actually sharing in Christ's suffering. He doesn't mean that we pay for our sins. He doesn't mean that we work for our salvation. But he means when we suffer, we have the perspective of Christ's suffering. We are in fellowship with him. We are partners with him. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it is just interesting when he said, the apostle went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. You suffer, you've been persecuted, you go back, hey, I'm so excited, I got persecuted, I got hit, I got insulted. This is the attitude of the apostles. The second reason we should rejoice, because the Spirit of God will be with us in our suffering. The Holy Spirit will help us endure suffering, which will be a drop in a bucket in comparison with eternity. The Holy Spirit will help us rejoice in our suffering. We know that the joy is the fruit of faith. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23 said, but the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So if we consider the meaning, the real meaning of joy, the biblical meaning of joy, joy is an assurance in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit that causes us to see the beauty and hope of Christ in his word and the world we live in. It's constant. It's not impacted or affected by any earthly happening. It's constant even in our most painful times. Nobody can take this joy from us. That's why you see the apostles, the disciples were having, you know, rejoicing in their pain and praising God. Therefore, don't pray, Lord, take my suffering from me. Instead, pray, Lord, help me to see your special presence in my suffering. Help me to learn from this suffering. Help me to learn a lesson that you wanted me to learn from this suffering. God is always with us, dear friends. Sometimes we don't see him too much because we're not looking for him. We're too busy looking around for many other things. But when we are in trouble, we are suffering, and there's nobody around us, he's there. When we look for him, we'll find him. Christ is with us even in the furnace. In the time of persecution, Christ is with us in the furnace. You know, remember Daniel chapter 3, when the three Hebrew children were in the furnace and they found a fourth guy with them? This was Christ with them. Wherever we are in the furnace of persecution, Christ will be with us. The other reason to rejoice is because through suffering, you will bring glory to God. When the Lord places crosses on your back, don't dishonor him by not wanting to carry it. We might have been tempted to shrink away from God. Sometimes we feel like, you know what, my faith is too little. I have too many sins. I'm weak. I don't know if I can stand persecution. That's too much to stand it. I can't do that. This is not for me. And we start just shrinking away from the Lord. Or I will pretend that I'm not a Christian. Or I'll say nothing. I'll just sit there watching, you know, just melt with the other people. And I'll not be persecuted. If you don't say anything, you'll not be persecuted. Maybe I'm a bad witness. Bringing God's glory means to make him look good. To bring God's glory, make him look good. So instead of rolling about all the issues and suffering and troubles you have, count your blessings. When you start complaining about your sufferings and pains, stop for a minute and pray instead. The other reason to rejoice, Peter says, because you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. It's necessary to understand that God is not going to replace our suffering with joy. God is going to transform our suffering into joy. Jesus used the example when a woman having a childbirth. It's so painful, but when she has the baby, all this suffering, all this pain will turn into joy. All our suffering in this life will turn into joy when Jesus comes back and we go to heaven. Peter comforts his readers, saying, you know, guys, you know, it's better for you to suffer now as believers and be purified for being a good witness, waiting for eternal glory, than suffer in the future as unbelievers. But it's really hard when we live in a world that really challenging, with a lot of unbelievers and a lot of people against Christianity around us. I mean, we might wonder and how many people will lose their faith. How many people already lost their faith? They confess Christ as their Savior. They lost their faith and lose their faith because of peer pressure. Peter says, you know, guys, just, you know, it's a drop in a bucket. You know, it will pass compared to eternity. This suffering will pass. Peter wants to make sure that when we suffer for the right reason. We suffer for Christ. The suffering, the consequences of evil works is not suffering for Christ. It's a punishment. You deserve it. If you do something wrong, don't say, I'm persecuted. You deserve it. If you break the law, you do something bad, you're doing evil things, you deserve this punishment. You're not suffering for Christ. Don't be a meddler, Peter says here. Meddler is a very interesting word. It could be like, don't be noisy, don't get involved in other people's business. So here he's addressing the Christians at that time, is addressing us today also. Christians said, guys, don't bring hostility and persecution. Try to avoid hostility against you as much as possible without denying Christ. So don't be noisy. Don't try to impose your ideas and thoughts on people. Because if you do that, you might look like you're better than them. And they will not like you. And you're committing a sin here. You're meddling in their business. So don't be a meddler. Don't oversee other people. Mind your business. If you do that and they persecute you, then you deserve it. It's not suffering for Christ. So we need to suffer for the right reason. Instead of being concerned about all this suffering and about, you know, our pain and troubles, we need to be really concerned about the lost people. The time of sufferings are times of opportunities of beautiful good witnesses to those people who need Christ. We need to be witnesses for those who persecute us. It was not the earthquake, actually, who brought the jailer in Philippi to Christ, because the earthquake really frightened him and almost committed suicide. What brought the jailer in Philippi to Christ was Paul's attitude, because he showed care for this jailer. So we don't want to seek vengeance against those who persecute us, but we want to show them Christ by being a good example to them. I like when Peter says, you are loved by God, so stop trying to really control your life. This is the last point. Stop trying to control your life. We try too much to control our life. When we try to do that, that means we don't trust God. We want to do everything by ourselves. We need to trust Him because He keeps His hand on the thermostat when we are inside the furnace. When we are inside the furnace, He will be with us. When we are in the lion's den, He will protect us. He will provide us because He is the Creator and who made us. Verse 12, Peter said, dear beloved or dear friends. What a comfort Peter is trying to talk to Christians who are suffering through bad times. He said, you are loved. God loves you. You are loved by God the Father. He loved us so much because, you know, He gave us the greatest gift, His Son, on the cross to die for our sins. And by His death, He took all our sins. Jesus went to the cross willingly. He did what His Father told Him to do, to die on the cross for our sins. And by His suffering, we are saved from hell. He did His Father's will. What He did, that's how made God the Father, that's how He glorified God the Father by going to the cross. He glorified God the Father by doing that. So every time we look at the cross, we see that, you know, our sins are forgiven, our sins are taken away because what He did on the cross for our sins. Death has lost his stronghold. Christ's own resurrection shows us what He restores for us in the future. We have His righteousness and victory. So, dear friends, dear beloved, don't try to control your life. Don't turn on the cruise control. Don't look for the nearest exit on the highway. Don't even step on the brakes either. Let God step in the driver's seat of your life. Let Him take the wheel, and He will show you the best in your life. Amen.